Good morning, church family. It's so good to be with you this morning. Last Sunday was so great to be able to be back in the building with you guys, but unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a couple more weeks before we're back together again. But I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to come to you once again online. And so I want to just talk to you this morning and just encourage you in the Lord today. I hope that you're staying encouraged. I hope that you're reading your Bible and spending time in prayer and spending time with others connected. We've got a lot of opportunities to do that online through Zoom and different things like that. So I want to encourage you, just check out our website and stay connected with the church during this time. You can do all your giving online. All that stuff can be taken care of online. And so I want to just share with you this morning a message entitled Faith, Hope, and Love. And I want to talk to you, and I know in our world right now, all kinds of things are going on. There's so much unrest. There's so much hate. There's so much depression. There's loneliness. There's all kinds of things going on because of this coronavirus pandemic and because of the unrest in our nation right now. And I just got I have a word for you that to encourage you today that none of these things are going to last forever. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just have to remind myself that, listen, this is not going to last forever. This coronavirus is not going to last forever. This unrest in our nation is not going to last forever. But there are some things that the Bible says that are going to last forever. If you've got your Bibles with me, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And there's some things that the writer of Corinthians is going to tell us that last forever. So let's look at verse number 12. Now, we see these things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I don't know about you today, but man, do we need some faith, hope, and love in our lives today. Our nation needs faith, hope, and love. And the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, all these other things are going to pass away. Everything that you can see, everything that you can touch, they're going to pass away one day. But listen, three things are not going to pass away: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. They're going to last forever. We need these today. And I want to just tell you, how do you get more faith, hope, and love? Well, I want to start off telling you, you don't get it by watching TV. You don't get it by watching the news. You don't get it by seeing all these things that are going on. You don't get it by listening to pundits and politicians talk about all the bad things. You get it from the Word of God, and you get it from the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, if us as the church, we need to go to Jesus and we need to be filled with faith, hope, and love so that when we go out into the world and we are able to give that away to other people, the world needs to see Jesus, and they need to see Jesus living in you and me. Because I want you to know today, the world is in desperate need of faith, hope, and love. And the only place that they're going to find that faith, hope, and love, they're not tuning in right now like you are. They're tuning in to Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and all these other things. And I can promise you, they're not getting faith, hope, and love there. So you and me are the answer. We are the faith, hope, and love that the world is going to see. And the only way that they're going to get more is by seeing Christ in you. So I want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And then I want us to go to Mark chapter 2. And I want to read this famous passage of scripture to you. And I want to just spend just a few moments breaking that down with you today. And I want you to think about it through the lens of faith, hope, and love. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for these three things that are going to remain. I thank you that there is faith and hope and love in the Word of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. I thank you that all believers, Father God, have those things working and operating in us. Thank you today that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you today that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And thank you today that we receive love through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everyone who is watching right now that they would experience that today. Lord, we bind every attack of the devil. We bind everything that would come to bring discouragement, disillusionment, and doubt. And Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus today, and we declare that you are great and greatly to be praised in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. So I want to read to you Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And this is the famous story where Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. The word of God says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Friends, there is so much in these 12 verses of scripture that we can pull out, so much to unpack today. Now, I want to just take you on a little journey through this particular passage of scripture. And I just want to look at some of these verses individually. And I believe God wants to speak to your heart and to my heart today about faith, hope, and love. So the first verse says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. How did that happen? It happened because people were talking about Jesus. News spread about Jesus quickly. And what were the people saying? This man is, he's healing people. He's rebuking religious people. He's doing miracles. He's making thieves and taking them and turning them into generous men. He's doing all these things. And so when Jesus came back just several days later, the news spread so quickly that he was actually back home. You know what that shows me? We talk about what we love. Now, I want you to think about that. The things that you really love, the things that you're really passionate about, man, you spend a lot of time talking about those things. And if you want to know what you really love or what another person really loves, all you have to do is take about 5 minutes and just listen, because people are going to tell you what they love. They're going to talk about what they love. If you have a person that has a new grandchild, all they're going to talk about is that grandchild. Because they love that grandchild, and they're going to just talk and talk and talk about them. And it's an amazing thing. And some of you are thinking, "Pastor, that's you." And it definitely can be sometimes. Some people love hunting. Some people love fishing. Some people love football. That's all they talk about. Others love politics. Every time you get around them, you're thinking about people right now as I name these things off. Some people love good deals on free stuff. I can remember times where Chick-fil-A would be giving away free breakfast in the morning, and I would just start texting my friends and let them know, "Listen, Chick-fil-A is giving out free chicken minis. Make sure you go by today and get them, because it's good and it's free. It's good news," right? I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Alabama with my family, and we went to this place called the Catfish House. And my mom had told me about this restaurant, and she was telling me, "Oh, it's so good. They've got great hush puppies. They've got all these different foods." And I had never been to the Catfish House until then. And I tell you what, we went and we ate, and it was amazing. It was good, and it was really, really good. And I want to just tell you that when I went and I sat down and I ate it myself, then I wasn't just listening to her word, but I had an experience, and I had actually tasted it, and I can tell you that it is good. And why do I want to share that with you today? I want to share that with you because we talk about the things that we love. We talk about things that are good to us. If you have faith in Jesus, you talk about Jesus. And I want to just encourage you, in these days that we're living, people need to hear your faith in a loving and living Savior. They need to hear your faith in a Jesus that loves them so much that he was willing to die for them, even when they were enemies of the cross. I want to tell you, people that have hope share Jesus with others. one of the things that I love to do is I love to share what God has done in my life. I love to share with other people the hope that I've found in Jesus Christ. Why? Because to me, Jesus is not just religion. He's not just another name, but I actually have hope in him. And I love to share the hope that I have in him with other people. And people that love Jesus can't keep him to themselves. And if you have faith in Jesus, if you have hope in Jesus, and if you love Jesus, I want to tell you, you're going to be just like the people in Capernaum were. They were talking about Jesus and they were spreading the news about Jesus. Let me encourage you today, with all the bad news that's going on, with all the bad things that are going on today, be a person, decide in your heart today, if you're a believer, to talk about your faith in Jesus, to share the hope you have in Jesus, and to talk to people about the love that you have for Jesus and the love that Jesus has for you. When you begin to do that, I promise you, you're going to see verse 2 come to pass even in your life. Let's look at number 2, what it says. Verse number 2 says, soon the house where he was staying, this is Jesus, was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door while he was preaching God's word to them. So the word had gone out, and people had begun to talk about Jesus, and they had begun to share their faith and their hope and their love in Jesus. And all of a sudden, there was so many people there, that it was so packed with visitors, there was no room even outside the door while Jesus was preaching the word. What does this show us? When people share about their faith, hope, and love in Jesus, others come to listen to him. Now, I want to encourage you as a believer today, be sharing those things with others. Right now, we're not necessarily in the church building, but you can bring people to Jesus just by sharing about your faith, hope, and love in him. God uses other people to bring people to Jesus. Most all of us today are believers in Jesus Christ because someone else took the time to share their faith, their hope, and their love in Jesus with us. And I want to just tell you, I want to go back to that catfish house that I was talking about before down in Alabama. You know, it was an amazing thing because that place filled up in just a matter of minutes. We were there before the doors opened up. And I want to tell you, there was a line to get in. There was a line waiting outside before the restaurant even opened to get a place at their table. And people were willing to stand outside in the heat and wait for a place at one of their tables. And the reason why is because people had been doing exactly what my mom did. They had been talking about how good the food was there, and others had to come and see for themselves. And I want to tell you, I believe it's time in the body of Christ for us believers to begin to talk about the love of God, to begin to talk about the faith that we have in God and our hope that we have in God. And we can talk about that in such a way that there will be lines waiting up outside of the church for people to get in. I believe that's something God wants to do in our midst, and I want to encourage you to do that in Jesus' name. We can pray for God to bring growth to our Sunday services, and then we can actually be the answer to that prayer. Now, I know for you is the same as many people around the world today. Your job has many people who need the faith, hope, and love in Jesus' name. Some of you have family members that live right at home with you right now, and they're going through difficult times. They're going through dark times, and they need to hear the faith, the hope, and the love that you have in Jesus. Some of us have friends and loved ones, and some of us have people that are in our oikos and our sphere of influence, and God has given you faith, hope, and love, and he's placed you right where you are today in order to shine that light brightly. Some of us are thinking, man, why am I in the job that I'm in? Why am I in the place that I'm in right now? And I want to encourage you, if Jesus lives on the inside of you, one of the greatest reasons that you're there is to shine forth the faith, hope, and love that you have in Jesus Christ. And when Christians begin to do that, soon there's not going to be any room outside the door for people to come and get their needs met by Jesus. Then verse number 3, I love this. It says, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. So here's Jesus. He's in the house, and the crowd is so big because the people have been talking about him, and now he's preaching, and all the word has gone out. Come and see this man. He's healing the sick. He's doing all these miraculous things. He's loving people. He's preaching the kingdom of God. And these 4 men had a paralyzed friend, and they show up carrying this paralyzed friend on a mat. Now, these four men had heard about Jesus and his power to heal. Why else would they bring a paralyzed man on a mat? They brought him there because they believed that Jesus could do it. They had faith that Jesus could heal their friend if they could just get their friend to Jesus. They actually had more than faith. They even hoped that Jesus would. They had hope that Jesus would do it. And they loved their friend enough to bring him to Jesus. I want you to think about that for a minute. Even though they had to carry him, they didn't have a car. They didn't have, they didn't have anything back then. They weren't putting him in an ambulance. It wasn't something nice. It was four of them, each of them on a corner of that bed, and they were using manpower to carry their friend. And the Bible tells us that this friend was paralyzed. What does that mean? It means he couldn't move like they could. He couldn't walk. He couldn't run. He couldn't jump. He couldn't even approach Jesus on his own. And I don't know about you, but thank God for friends that will get you to Jesus. Some of you are Christians today because you had friends that carried you to Jesus. Some of us need to be that kind of friend for other people. And I'm here today. I'm here to tell you that I'm here today because of friends that kept pointing me and carrying me to Jesus. You and I today, my friend, have other friends who are paralyzed. Well, Pastor, I don't have anybody that's paralyzed in my life. I'm not talking about a physical paralyzed. I'm not talking about being paralyzed physically, but I'm talking about we have friends that are paralyzed by fear. Right now, the spirit of fear is gripping people. It's moving all throughout our nation. People are afraid to go outside. They're afraid that they're going to get sick. They're afraid that they're afraid because of this and that, and there's so many different things going on. And what do those people need? They need the faith, the hope, and the love that you have in Jesus Christ. There are people today who are paralyzed by the sins of their past. I can't tell you how many people I meet that would say something like, Pastor, if you only knew what I had done in my life, if you'd only known what my past was, you would know that there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me because of the things I've done. I want to tell you today that there's not just hope for you, but there's faith for you and there's love for you, that Jesus Christ can wash away your sins and he can make you into a new person. The Bible tells us that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things, all those old things, all your past, all your shame, all your guilt, all those things are washed away and you actually begin to be a new person. Jesus makes you into a new person. He makes you into something that you weren't before. There are people who are still paralyzed by the sins of the past, and I want to encourage you today, put your hope, put your faith, and put your love on Jesus Christ. There are people today that you know who are paralyzed by addictions. There are people in your life, there are people in your family, there are people in your neighborhood, and they're paralyzed by addictions to alcohol and drugs, pornography, all kinds of different things. And people they get addicted to these things and it begins to take control of their life until they get carried places that they don't even want to go. They're paralyzed. They can't see a way out. And God is looking for people that would be like these four friends that would pick them up and carry them to Jesus. Listen, I want to tell you today that if Jesus lives on the inside of you, you can bring people to him that are caught in addictions today. I want to tell you the power of Jesus is still available today to break addiction off of people's lives. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this today and you say, Pastor, I'm in an addiction right now. I'm struggling with this, I want to declare over your life right now that the power of Jesus Christ is available for you. And if you will repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, he has the power to break that off of you no matter what it is. The name of Jesus is greater than every other name. And I want to encourage you with that today. There are also people that we know who are paralyzed by love for other things. There are people that they really do want to do right. They really do somewhere in their life. They want to please God. They want to love God, but they're paralyzed by love for other things. They're paralyzed by love for the world. They're paralyzed by other things. And I want to tell you, all of these people that we've been mentioning that are paralyzed, there's one thing that we know. They won't make it to Jesus on their own. They're going to need somebody to point them the way. They're going to need somebody to talk to them about the faith that they have in Jesus, the hope that they have in Jesus, and the love that they have for Jesus and the love Jesus has for them. They need friends that have faith, hope, and love. And I want to tell you today, you have that in Jesus' name. If you're a believer today, you have faith, you have hope, and you have love, and they are remaining on the inside of you. Nothing that the devil can do will be able to knock that faith, hope, and love out of you in Jesus' name. Verse number 4 tells us they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they just stopped. No, that's not what it says, is it? They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. You know what this shows me? I want to tell you, it tells me love will find a way. Love is going to find a way. These guys, they got to the meeting, and then they couldn't get to Jesus. They didn't look at their friend who was the paralytic, and they didn't say, listen, man, we tried. You know, we brought you here. We thought it was going to happen. We had faith that Jesus could heal you, but I'm sorry, the crowd's too big. We just can't get in there, buddy. I mean, you know, we love you, but we're just going to have to turn around and go home, or we're going to have to just stand here and listen. No, they didn't tell him they were sorry that we tried. Their love for their friend and their faith and hope in Jesus caused them to find a way. They would not take no for an answer. They even damaged somebody else's house and made an opening to get this man to Jesus. What does that show us today? It shows us that faith, hope, and love will go to any length to get friends to Jesus. I want to tell you today that your friends are counting on you. Jesus is counting on you. I want to encourage you today. This is such an amazing time to be alive because God has placed these great gifts on the inside of us, and he's empowered us to go after people and bring them to him, not just carrying them with our hands, but carrying them in our hearts, carrying them in our prayers, carrying them through our words. And I want to tell you, friend, you can do it. God has placed you here for that particular reason. You know, their love for their friend and their faith and hope in Jesus caused them to find a way. I love when I think about that. And these guys understood that doctors couldn't help their friend. You know, some of us, we have friends that they're going to go everywhere else but Jesus first. But eventually people are going to come to a place. Thank God for doctors. And sometimes doctors can do amazing things. And we're not a people that think, oh, well, let's not worry about doctors. Praise God for doctors. Praise God for modern medicine and everything that can do. But sometimes doctors will leave you out. Doctors will say, listen, there's nothing else we can do. Jesus is never going to say that. There's always something that he can do. You know, counseling couldn't help this guy. And thank God for counselors. Thank God for people that will sit down with you and help you and work it out. But sometimes a counselor is not what you need. You need the power of God to manifest in your life in order to bring a manifestation of his power in you. Sometimes medicine is not going to be able to help. Like I said, thank God for modern medicine. But some things there is no medical cure for. It is a spiritual problem. And sometimes God has to speak into our lives, and God has to bring us to a place where we manifest our faith. And we see that thing happening that we've been longing for. You see, these friends were determined to bring their friend to Jesus no matter the cost. Are you willing to go and get them and bring them even if they don't want to go? You know, I've shared this story with you before, but it reminds me of a time when I was younger, and I can remember some of my friends, we used to meet at church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and we would meet on Tuesday nights, and we would pray for the lost in our city, and then we would go out on Friday nights, and we would share the gospel. And there was a particular young man that used to go out. It was about 3 or 4 of us, and we used to go out, and all of a sudden, he wasn't going out anymore. And I didn't know what was going on. And to make a long story short, I tried to call a couple of times, and this was before cell phones and all of that. And I called a few times and he didn't answer. And I thought that was really strange because, you know, he was really on fire for God. He loved Jesus, and he just dropped off the map. And I remember calling his house, and finally his wife answered the phone, and she said, well, he's a little bit upset. Some things happened. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. And so I gave him a little bit of space, called back a few days later, same thing. And I can remember it was a Wednesday night before church, and I called, and she said, yeah, he doesn't want to talk. And I said, well, would you let me in if I come? And she said, yeah. And so I remember driving out to his house, and we had a conversation, and I ended up finding out that he had fallen back into a particular addiction. He had fallen back into a particular sin, and he was just feeling really beat up about it. And he said, you know, I'm not going to go to church. And I told him, I said, yeah, you're going to go. I said, why don't you go ahead and get up? And he didn't want to go, and we kept on. And I told him, I remember I was like, if you don't go ahead and get up, I'm going to bring you to my car. And so he finally just said, okay, I'll go. And I can remember him going back. It was on a Wednesday night, and God just really touched him that night. He repented and brought his heart back to God. And it was just an amazing experience. And he moved away a short time after that, and I moved away as well and didn't hear from him for a long time. And it was just a couple of years ago that he reached out to me on Facebook and just told me what that meant to him in his life, that I was able to go and really encourage him when he was in a down time. Now, I want to tell you right now, there are friends that you have right now who may have wandered away from God. There are friends that you may have right now, maybe family members, who have gone through a difficult or a disappointing time, and they need some faith, they need some hope, and they need some love. They need somebody to touch them. I'm so thankful that I'm here today because I've gone through those seasons in my life, and I thank God that I had brothers and sisters in Christ that reached out to me during those difficult times, and they shared with me the faith that they have, the hope that they have, and the love that they have, and they were able to bring me back. Now, I want to tell you, these young men, they weren't willing to take no for an answer, even if it meant they were going to have to pay for a new roof, even if it meant that they were going to have to tear something up and get this guy in front of Jesus. And I want to ask you, are you willing to use your money to see your friend get to Jesus? You know, you can be creative. There's ways that you can use your money. Sometimes we don't even think about these things, but these guys were willing to say, listen, I'll pay the cost of this roof if I can just open a hole here and get my friend to Jesus. And I believe that all over in our lives right now, God wants to show us ways where we can take the roof off. We can take the boundaries off. We can take those buffers off from our friends getting to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, you can do that through financial things. You can take them out to lunch. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes one of the greatest things you can do is take somebody out to lunch and they will just open up and begin to share things with you that they wouldn't share any other way. So I want to encourage you, be thinking like that, be creative, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Verse number 5 says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. This is so amazing to me, this verse, because it doesn't say that he saw the faith of the paralyzed man. It says, seeing their faith, seeing the friend's faith, he forgave the sins of the paralytic man. This scripture just blows my mind because Jesus saw this action of their faith and he said to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. You know, sometimes your faith can influence your friends that are hurting, and sometimes your faith can influence Jesus to interact in other people's lives. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up praying for people. Don't give up asking people. Don't give up encouraging people. There are sometimes people will say, listen, I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm not saying be a person that thumps people on the head with the Bible and stuff like that, but just be there to love them. Be there to encourage them. Be there to give them hope. Be there to give them faith, and you'll see God is going to do some amazing things. Let's read one more time, verses 6 through 12. Let me read this to you. But some of the teachers of religious law saw who were sitting there, thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. In the middle of healing their friend, Jesus is rebuking religious leaders. It's an amazing thing. Instead of faith, hope, and love, these men were full of judgment. There was a miracle taking place. Jesus was forgiving a man's sins, and all these things were happening, but the religious people were stirred up about it. And Jesus is healing a man, and then he's also rebuking religious, stuffy people. And you know, a lot of times many churches are like that. Instead of faith, hope, and love, what people find is judgment. People find that people want to judge them and talk about them. Listen, we're not going to be people like that in Jesus' name. There are people who are doing what Jesus says, and there are others who are judging and complaining. Sometimes in the church, there are people that are loving. There are people that are sharing faith, hope, and love. And then there are other people that are complaining and judging and things like this. And Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach the people. Jesus is shining light to the teachers of religious law in this, and everyone, that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, making him God. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, just so that you understand, just so that you all know, I can either say, son, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk. It doesn't matter, because you are looking at God. That's basically, in essence, what he was saying. He was saying the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, making him God. Jesus wasn't simply declaring the gospel of the kingdom. He was demonstrating it in action right before their eyes. And everyone there saw his power displayed in the healing of this man who had been paralyzed. But those who were religious refused to believe, and they refused to enter into the kingdom that day. They had the opportunity. They saw the same thing everybody else did, but they refused it. But the paralyzed man who had been brought by his friends, what did he do? He believed. He jumped up, he grabbed his mat, and he went home just like Jesus told him to. It's an amazing, amazing story, and it demonstrates the kingdom of God in word and the kingdom of God in deed. And what was the result of what Jesus did that day? The result was, as the Bible says, they were all amazed. The former paralytic was amazed. His four friends were amazed. The religious people that even rejected him were amazed. The crowd was amazed, and the Bible tells us they all praised God. Listen, when we begin to talk about Jesus, when we begin to share the faith and hope and love that we have in Jesus Christ with other people, and when we begin to bring them into that place of an encounter with Jesus Christ, and their lives get touched and they get transformed and they get turned around by the power of Jesus, all people are going to exclaim, all people are going to praise God. And that's what God wants to see. That's what we want to see. Amen. God wants all people in your life to be amazed at his goodness. God wants all people in your life and my life to begin to praise him and give him the glory and honor that he deserves. God wants all people to exclaim exactly what those people were exclaiming that day. We've never seen anything like this before. It's an amazing, amazing story. And there are many paralyzed people still sitting paralyzed in their sins, waiting, just waiting for somebody to bring them to Jesus, for somebody to bring them some faith, some hope, and some love. So today, friend, I want to encourage you, go in the power of Jesus' name with your faith, with your hope, and with your love, and start bringing people to Jesus. And watch what God is going to do. I want to encourage you today, and I want to just tell you, I know so many of you have experienced the power of Jesus just like this paralytic man. I'm so thankful to God that 22 years ago on a Navy ship, Jesus Christ found me when I was paralyzed in my sins, and he changed my life, and he put me on a new course, and I'm walking that way with him, and he filled me with faith, he filled me with hope, and he filled me with love, and I had the opportunity to encourage others to look to him today. Friend, I want to encourage you today. If you need salvation, if you need deliverance, if you need healing today, Jesus Christ is available right where you are to set you free today. He set me free on a Navy ship. I was not in a church. Chances are today you're not watching this in a church. You're probably at home. You may be in your bedroom. You may be in your car. You may be on a walk. I don't know where you are, but I want to tell you today that the same power that touched that paralyzed man and gave him the ability to rise up and walk and go home free from everything that had bound him, that same power in Jesus' name is available to you right where you are. If you'll call on the name of Jesus, he can save you, he can deliver you, and he can set you free today. I want to pray for you today, and I want to encourage you, put your faith in Jesus, put your hope in Jesus, put your love in Jesus Christ. I want to just pray for you today. If that's you, Father, right now, I thank you for everyone that's listening to this message today. For those that need salvation today, I want to encourage you, call on the name of Jesus. The Bible says that all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're dealing with addictions today, if you call on the name of Jesus and ask him to break the power of that thing, Jesus will come and touch your life and change your life. Father, we break addictions right now. We break every attack of the devil right now. We declare salvation. We declare healing. We declare grace in Jesus' name, Father, for anyone who is suffering in their body, anyone who is suffering with sickness. We break the power of that in Jesus' name, and we declare the healing power and Zoe life of God to move in their body right now. Lord, I thank you for miracles. I thank you for blessing. I thank you for faith, for hope, and for love to come into each and every person that's listening to me today in Jesus' name. Friend, I want to encourage you. Put your faith in Jesus, put your hope in Jesus, and put your love in Jesus today. I've got a challenge that I want to give you today. If you'd like to take it, I want to just share it with you really quick. I want to ask you, will you ask God with me today to put one of your paralyzed friends on your heart? Just one of them. I believe that as I've been preaching, God has been putting at least one person on your heart. And if he hasn't done that, just ask him. Just take a moment right now and say, Holy Spirit, would you put one person on my heart today? One person maybe that you would have me to share with. Maybe that you would have me to give them some faith, some hope, and some love. And I want to ask you this week, will you share your faith, hope, and love about Jesus with them? Would you just do that? Would you take that time and do that? Now, I want to just encourage you. I believe that as we do that as the body of Christ this week, we're going to be amazed to see at all of the things God wants to do. Friends, I want to point you to Jesus today. I want to encourage you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He's got an amazing, amazing, amazing things for your life. And I want to encourage you, put your faith in him. If you need prayer today, if you need help in any way, I want to just encourage you, go ahead and send us a direct message. We want to pray for you. We want to believe God with you that today is going to be a day of faith, hope, and love in your life. Now, I want to just remind you as we get ready to close today, listen, all the things that are going on right now, all of this COVID-19, all of this unrest, all of these things that are going on, remember, these things are not going to last forever. They're not going to last forever. They're a season in time. But one thing we know, faith, hope, and love, these things are going to remain. I want to encourage you today, let your faith be strong. Let your hope be strong. Let your love be strong in Jesus' name. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.